Okay, today's daf is daf mem tes, page 49. We were up to the fourth line here on daf mem tes. So the Gemara says, Gufa, let's go back to the words that we saw before in the name of Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said that if witnesses came, and they said, I know there is a document that says that Zev borrowed money from Reuven, and we are the ones who signed the document. But, Amana Hayu Dvarenu, what we signed was not a true loan document. Rather, we trusted that they would do it. Zev and Reuven are friends. They approached us. They said Zev's about to borrow from Reuven. Zev says he trusts us. He trusts Reuven. Reuven's not going to collect from him before the actual borrowing happens. So we signed it based on trust that it would happen. But we don't know if it actually happened. So now Zev says he doesn't trust Reuven. Reuven's coming with the document saying he owes money. But Reuven never gave money to Zev back in the day to create the loan. We're the ones who signed. We're telling you that when we signed, we didn't see it. We didn't see the event. It was just trust. We knew it was going to happen. But basically, the witnesses are coming and saying that they are liars. Right? Because what does the contract say? The end of a ketubah. Hakol sharir v'kayam. Everything is established. Everything is lasting. Now they're saying, no, it's not everything good and right and proper in order. It's actually nothing. We signed, we said it was all in order, but it really wasn't in order. So that's not you're a liar, you just went around lying. We don't believe people to say that they're liars. So said Rav Nachman, witnesses who say, Amana hayud varenu, our words were just based on trust, but it never happened. Or moda hayud varenu. Let's say there's a document, not of sale, not of a loan, but of sale. And so we signed a document saying that Zev sold his house to Reuven. But you know what? Before we signed it, Zev told us, I don't really mean to sell. I'm being coerced. That's why I'm selling. I don't have intention. In both cases, ain't there money? They're not believed, because what are you going to do? You're going to just, they're claiming that they wrote a document, but really, they didn't write a document, right? I mean, what is a document? A document really is testimony. Anytime you have a shtar, it's written testimony, even though normally we have a concept, mipiyem v'lo mipiksavam. Testimony has to be heard. It's not something which is written. That's the unique novelty of shtar. That in a contract, when someone is commissioning a contract to his detriment and witnesses sign, so that's virtually testimony. We have a rule in testimony. Kevin Shehigid, once somebody testifies, in a chozer umagid, he can't go back and testify again differently. So, they testified. They can't now go and reverse the testimony. They said it was a good deal. Now they're going to say it's not a good deal. So that's the view of Rav Nachman. However, Marbar Rav Ashi made a distinction. He said, Amar Marbar Rav Ashi, Amar, Amana Hayud Varenu, if the people on a document say, well, it really wasn't a document. I know we signed that it was a loan, but really it was all with trust and we don't know if it happened. It actually didn't happen. Ain't them on it. So they would not be believed about that. But if they said, Moda hayud varenu, it was a sale document. But really, it wasn't a good sale. Because the seller, before we wrote it, told us, you know, I'm just doing this because I'm being forced. I don't really want to do this. Nemanim, they are believed. My time, why? If the testimony that they're telling us now is true, that there was pressure, and because of pressure, The man agreed to sell. This is a very reasonable story. It's very reasonable that a guy who feels his life is in danger, to save his life from the pressure, says, okay, so write a document for me. So we would write such a document. We could write a document that that says that there was a sale when really it's not true. The reason why we did it was to save him from the mafioso. That's okay. But zeh lo nitzan likasev. What are we going to say? We, the witnesses, didn't see a loan. People told us there would be a loan. They said we trust each other, so we wrote for them that there was a loan. And we trusted that no one was going to abuse it. You say you did something wrong. That's not credible. A person's not credible to say about himself, I was a Rasha, I did the wrong thing. So if they're saying that the document is not a good document because the loan never really happened, the loan was only an amana, it wasn't really a loan. It was just a commitment to make a loan, and they trusted that it would happen. So then you jumped the gun. Why are you writing that down? They have no right to write such a thing down. So they who didn't have a right to, they didn't have a right, R-I-G-H-T, to write such a thing down, they're not believed that that's what they did. We take the normal meaning of the text. The text is that everything is proper and in order and a loan happened. And that's what we say actually happened, that there was a proper loan. But in regards to a deed of sale with a disclaimer at the top of the deed saying, well, it wasn't really sold. It's a deed of sale, but... The
disclaimer is actually written?
No, it wasn't written. It's not written. They're telling us.
Well, how do you do Modo? There is the concept of Modo. So how do you do Modo properly? Other than this.
Oh, can you have an alternate contract?
You actually have to write it down with signed
with. That's what we had seen yesterday, yeah.
Yeah, so you write it.
Yeah.
So here they're just...
But now we're adding that since this is reasonable, that a man who's under pressure is saying, write that I sold, write that I agree, he has to save his life, he has to save himself from physical harm. So then when it was the right thing to write... The right thing to write, so they are believed about it. So that they are believed about. Okay, so that completes that discussion. Now let's go back to discussions of the Mishnah. The Mishnah taught us, remember, this is the chapter of chazaka, of a presumption, when something belongs to someone. And we've learned that cheskas habatim, someone who's on a house, or in a field, or on a well, or in a bathhouse, or an olive press, if he's there, or harvesting an orchard, if he's there for 3 years without any protest from the original owner, if the original owner now comes and proves that it had been originally his, and he says, okay, get out of my field, we say to the original owner, no. After 3 years of a man living here, there's a presumption that it is probably his. You were quiet for 3 years. That's a bit of a question on your point of view. And the problem, where does he have his deed of sale? After 3 years, people misplace their deed of sale. So that's the concept of cheskas habat. Then the Mishnah taught us there are all sorts of people that don't have this law. A thief. A thief doesn't have this law. Thieves are... Who's a thief? So we said, you know, mafiosos, people who kill people for money, people who were caught on a field before and thrown out on this very field. They don't have a chazak anymore. We don't give them a chazak. Another scenario that doesn't have a chazak, that the Mishnah said, was a husband who used his wife's stuff for 3 years. Because normally when a husband gets married, he gets certain rights to his wife's property. It's called nichse melog. The word melog is literally to pluck. So it's like the feathers of a chicken. You pluck off the feathers and you leave the chicken. So when a husband gets married and his wife brings in... an apartment building that she inherited from her father. So it's her apartment building. When the marriage will end, there'll be a divorce or a death. So she gets the apartment building. But as long as they're married, he can pluck from the apartment building all the rents that come in. That goes to him. He gets the peirot. He gets the fruit that come out of the nichse melog. So let's say she had a field. And even better, talk about the apartment building. She had an apartment building. She married him with this apartment building. So he's the one who's entitled to the rent. So for 3 years, he's in the apartment building. He's fixing. He's changing. He's hiring the He's changing the locks. So after 3 years, she says, okay, it's my building. He says, no, for 3 years I acted like an owner and you never said anything. That's a proof that you sold it to me. So she says, well, I didn't say anything because we're married and you're entitled to collect the rents. The rents are yours, so it's only normal that I'm not going to say anything. If your claim is true that I sold it to you, where's the deed of sale? So here we say, we don't say, oh, after 3 years, people don't keep a deed of sale. Something like this, you've got to keep a deed of sale forever because the 3 years of usage is not going to create a presumption of ownership by the husband. He's married to his wife, so of course he can use it. This is part of the marriage, the nichsei malog. He's entitled to use and to pluck the fruits. We don't say here, you know, why, you know, what's going on. There's a presumption that it's yours. Okay, beautiful. So again, the lo le'ish chazaka b'nichsei ishto. A man using his wife's apartment building, a man using his wife's vineyard, taking off the grapes for 3 years with no protest, did not create a case for himself that he in fact purchased the field. So Gemara says, Pshita, this is obvious. This is so obvious. Kevin de Isla Lepeira, since he's entitled to the fruits, so so of course he's eating the fruits that he's entitled to. Why would we think that? Should we call Izzy? Sorry to interrupt.
Sure.
Maybe we should. You have his number. Maybe we should call him. I have it here.
Does it work also the other way around? When the husband has the apartment house, that the wife is using it.
Maybe not. She doesn't have rights to his stuff. Right? She doesn't have the rights to the rent. He has the rights. Maybe not. Oh, okay, I can, I'm sure. Let's see if he's awake. The Mishnah said that if a man is using his wife's property, he's not succeeding in building a case that's a good case that creates a presumption that he probably owns it. So Gemara says, Pshit, of course. Kevin de Isle Lepeira. This is the rights that God gave him to get the fruits. So Peruhu Dekach, he's exercising his rights. He's eating the fruits. Doesn't make him the presumed owner. She can say, I didn't protest because I knew that you're eating my fruits is not a sign of your ownership, that I should make, you know, register the protest because everybody knows that you're eating the fruits because the sages allow you to eat the fruits. The husband has a right to the fruits. So Gemara says, Lo Tzricha, you know what we're dealing with, where he pulled himself out. The Kasavla, he had promised her, Dinu Dvarim Einli B'Nechsayich. I surrender my rights to your fruits. So he really didn't have a right to the fruits. So, one second. So now that he's on the field and eating the fruits, when he doesn't have a right to it, isn't that a good chazaka? No, it's not a good chazaka. It doesn't create a presumption that he's the owner. Why? Because even though he doesn't have rights to the fruit, We say the reason why the wife didn't say anything for 3 years is because she doesn't want to fight with her husband. What wife wants to fight with her husband? It's normal. It's normal for her to be quiet for 3 years. And, you know, she's also, he's feeding her. He's giving her food. So she doesn't want to pick a fight with him. So because she doesn't want to pick a fight with him, that's why it's not a chazaka. So the Gemara asks, "V'chi kasavla mayhavi? Who cares? Who cares if he writes, I'm not going to have a claim to your property? Even if he wrote that, he still has rights to her property. V'atanya, didn't we learn in a braisa? Ha'omer l'chaveiro, if a person tells his friend, Dinu dvarim ein li al sadazu, I don't have any claims to this field. Or ein li esekba, I don't have any involvement in it. Or yadai mesulakos mimena, my hands are removed from the field. Lo amar klum, that's nothing. Because saying I'm out doesn't yet mean that it belongs to the other one. Amila debe Rabbi Yanai, they answered in the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Yanai, Masnisin, this Mishnah that we're telling you means a case where he said, I don't have any claim to the fruits, is because save love oda arusa. Not that he married her, and then he said, I'm out. This was the condition of the marriage. At the we know there are two stages of marriage, erusin, like an engagement, sort of, where he gives her a ring and says, you are betrothed to me. And then, nisuin, where they enter into a room together and they combine. So he wrote to her while she was an arusa, when we will get married, I'm not going to have any rights to the fruits. And this is Kidur Rav Kahana. This is a lesson like Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana said, Nachala habal ol adam mimakom acher. If there is an inheritance coming to a person from another place, in other words, the sages legislate that a person has certain rights. Let's say, for example, the sages have legislated that a husband is entitled to the inheritance of his wife when she passes away. Adam masna aleha, a man can make a condition, shelo yirshena, that he will not get it. So when he says, before she dies, I will have no claim on whatever is going to come from you, then in fact he doesn't have a claim, he doesn't have rights. Kidurava like Rava. Dama Rava, Rava made a rule. Kala omer I ifshi betakanas chachamim. Kigon zo shomen lo. The sages made all sorts of rules to help people. So one rule they made to help a husband is that he gets the inheritance of his wife. If his wife dies, he inherits her. So if a husband says, I don't want the ruling of the sages, I don't want to get the benefit that they want to give us, we listen to him. So that's what happened here. Before the Nisuin, the husband already had said, Iifshi b'takanas chachamim, I don't want to have any claim to my wife's property, and therefore he's not entitled to it.
Afterwards, it's not the same thing.
Once they're married, he'd have to use better language. To say, I'm out, that's not the language of a matana. You'd have to say, I'm makna to you, we'll do a kinyan chalipin. But to just withdraw, that's you can't withdraw from your property. I mean, you can actively do something which is the equivalent of withdrawal. You could say, I make my property hefker. But to say, listen, I have a gemara, I'm out of my gemara, that doesn't work. You can say, I'm giving you a gemara, so I'm making it hefker. But to pull out, that doesn't work. But beforehand, you can prevent. You can prevent yourself from entering. You can say, I know the sages are going to give it to me. They're going to give me the rights to her fruit. I'm pulling out of that. I'm not going to take it. I don't want to have it. That would Dinu Dvarim Ainli would work beforehand.
Before he gets it.
Before he gets
Once
it,
Once he gets it, as the rabbi said, he would have to say, I declare it half care, for example.
He'd have to do something of greater, of more of a transfer. Yeah, like a prenuptial. You mean ante is afterwards, prenuptial.
Prenuptial.
Right?
Is that the South African version? No, that's before.
Oh, ante is also before. A-N-T-E, right, right. Post would be after, right. So prenuptial or an antenuptial. Yeah, it could be an antenuptial where a person sets up a block to not receive the gift that the sages are giving. That's right, a person can do that. So now Rava had said, anyone who says, I don't want the law of the sages like this, so we listen to him. So the Gemara now asks, my kigon zos, what does it mean? I don't want the law of the sages like this. That's a reference to the law that a husband has to give his wife food. So the sages instituted that the husband has to give his wife her mizonos.
That's not from the Torah.
They institute a certain amount. So if she says, but I make so much money, I don't want to get the mizonos, because the way they instituted it was, in return for him giving her mizonos, he's entitled to whatever she makes, whatever profit she makes. So if she's a weaver and she's making rugs, he gets the rugs. She says, you know, I make very expensive stuff. I don't want to give it away. So I'd rather not get food from him. So she can do that. Kid Rav Huna Amar Rav, as Rav Huna told in the name of Rav. Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav, Rav Huna told in the name of Rav. Isha, Yechola Isha, Shetomer Labala. A woman can say to her husband, Eini Nizones, I will not get my food from you. Ve'eini Osa, because I don't want to be someone who has to give you I don't want to give you all of my handiwork. And my handiwork is worth even more. So I'm not giving it to you. So the whole reason why the sages made this law, made this swap, was in order to help her out. So she can say, I'm refusing to get this help. I don't want to get this help. And in that way, it would in fact take effect. So that's what's going on here as well. He's saying, I don't want the institution of Nichsei Malog. So he can do that. It was for his benefit. He can refuse it. And once he did that, so if later he's on the field and eating the fruits, is that a sign of ownership? The answer is it's not a sign of ownership because she still didn't protest because she's his wife. Okay. Now again, the Mishnah says that when a husband uses his wife's property for 3 years, it's not a good source or reason for us to think that he really owns it. Haraya, but if there's something better than just using the property, let's say he has witnesses or a document, yesh, that would be a proof that he did in fact buy the field. Tema, why can't a woman say, nachas ruach asisi lebaili? I agreed to sell, but I didn't really mean to sell. I did it because I didn't want my husband to be upset with me. Milotznan, don't we have a Mishnah? Lakach min ha'ish. Let's say a man had promised his wife a field. Out of that field, he would pay the ksuba, and somebody bought it from him. And then v'chazav lakach min ha'isha. Then someone went back to the woman that the ksuba is promised to her. And he paid her for it also. So, mikcho batel, it's not a sale, because the document has a lien on it. And it's to guarantee her ksuba. Aye, he bought again from her, and she agreed. Alma amra, because apparently she can say, I agreed, because nachas ruach asisi lebaili, I just wanted to keep my husband happy. Achanami, so let's say the same thing here. Tema, let her be able to claim nachas ruach asisi lebaili. Answers the Gemara, Itmar Allah, we learned about this Mishnah. Amarabba Barav Huna, Rabba Barav Huna explained, Lo Nitzricha, Ela Ba'osan Shalosh Shados. We're referring to a case of the three fields, or one of the three fields. So in these three fields, where she's relying on it a great deal, and since she's relying on it a great deal, that's the case when even if she agrees later, the sale didn't work. But in a regular sale between a wife and a husband, we don't say that, oh, she didn't mean it. If she signed it over to the husband, we wouldn't say, Nachas ruach asisi lebaili. So achas, one of these three fields where we have that Mishnah in Ksubos, that even though the buyer later bought it from her too, it wasn't a purchase, was a case where shekasav la biksubasa, where he wrote in the Ksuba explicitly that this field is responsible for her Ksuba amount. So since he explicitly obligated this field to her, so then she's very much relying on getting the field. And even if she supposedly signed it off to the buyer, we know she didn't mean it, and it wasn't a purchase, and she gets the field back, and the purchase never happened. Okay, Bezrat Hashem, we'll continue tomorrow.